Good evening, all. God bless you. We'll have our scripture for the evening to open in just a moment. So last fortnight, if you remember, we had a message about God's providence, how He has graciously promised to take care of the Christian's earthly needs. We'll continue in a similar theme. I want to begin by encouraging you all to think about what it is that you love or whom you love. In a person's heart, there resides an object of affection, whatever it is that you spend your time thinking about. You can keep the answer to yourselves, of course, what it is that you spend your time meditating on, but this is what the Word of God constantly challenges us to do, a bit of private self-examination. So we'll begin in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to start. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening that we have together, Lord, to hear from your word. Thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we pray that our hearts are yielding to what you have to say to us. Lord, and that we take away the truths from it and we set about living them in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Lord says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be." Your heart, that is your thought life, your emotions, will dwell on wherever you spend your money. Invest in heaven through serving the Lord, and you'll think more of heaven. If all of your money is going toward earthly possessions, however, your thoughts will tend towards the earth. The problem with that is that everything you can see on earth is perishable. It's temporary. You're not going to have it forever. All of the treasure you can lay up in heaven, however, will last forever. It is the best possible way to spend your money. You are guaranteed to receive it when you die. Open your Bibles now to Luke 16, verse 9. Now, this is the Lord pointing out one of the ways that we can spend our money, and that's towards supporting the gospel, and this is the result. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now, you all know the parable of the unrighteous steward. He used his earthly means to secure friends in this life. The friends we help win with our money when we support the gospel are redeemed souls whom we shall meet when we get to heaven. No doubt we'll all have some people to thank who contributed their funds to the gospel that reached us individually. The very important thing to understand in the Christian life is how to wisely spend our money. We are all stewards of the money God gives us. In fact, the Lord tests us with it. He gauges our faithfulness with it. If you need convincing, just consider the fact that Jesus had more to say on money and possessions than on heaven and hell combined. For the Christian, the love of money is one of the chief dangers to our walk with God. Speaking of the Christian, now turn firstly to Mark chapter 4, verses 13 to 14. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And now to verse 18 and 19. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Christ here identifies a type of person lured away by money. Really, that's all that the cares of the world are at the end of the day. It's ultimately about money. When we looked at the verses that deal with anxiety a fortnight ago about earthly things, food and clothing, when the Lord cautioned us not to give any thought to them, He also warns against covetousness. Money always seems like a means to an end for the unbelieving soul, but it will become an idol if you put your trust in it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 is the next scripture. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You see how binary the Lord is whenever He's speaking of loyalties? It's always with Him or against Him. Of course, without God, money quickly looks like the answer to everything. It seems like it will guarantee security and comfort. But money does not make the world go around. It has its uses, but it is no guarantee of satisfaction. It won't love you back. And the love of money is likely instead to cause you a lot of sorrow. We'll see this in 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's referring to some that have turned away from the faith. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. It's at the root of all evil because the love of money will lead you away from God, who is the source of all goodness. And all the patterns of behavior that emerge from the pursuit of money are godless. Love of money is antithetical to God. It produces only evil. It precludes a good relationship with Him. You simply can't have one. It's impossible. Let's now turn to Mark. Jesus is met here by the rich young ruler who asks him what he should do to inherit eternal life. He's already following the law perfectly, apparently, but there's a major stumbling block. So the verse we're looking for is Mark 10. 20 to 27. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again, and saith unto them, Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Only God could overcome such a deep-seated affection for the world that this young ruler demonstrated, if that man was willing to repent, as Zacchaeus the publican, for example, had. You cannot serve God and mammon. Don't serve greed, is the message. The Gentiles serve mammon. Unbelievers do this the world over. They love money, therefore they cannot love God. And if you don't have the love of the Father, 1 John 2, you're going to be filled with lusts that cause enmity within you, with others and with God. You'll be evil and at war with everyone else because everyone else will be between you and your lusts. The love of money motivates murder, theft, divorce, envy, lying, and even false teaching. Beware any doctrine that teaches that Christianity is a path to earthly riches. That's exactly what the unregenerate person already desires. There was a preacher in the Pentecostal church we came out of that told the congregation one day that he was praying for a Ferrari. Trusting God for a Ferrari was the expression he used. And he went on to say that when his wife had questioned if this was right, and it seemed a bit greedy to be doing this, he said that he didn't want to shortchange Jesus Christ for what had been paid for on the cross. Friend, you are shortchanging yourself eternal life if you believe that's what had been paid for. A Ferrari will be worthless to you in hell. It won't even be yours. The wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. After all, churches that preach the prosperity gospel are filled with people who hate God. They'd rather pay for the lies a false teacher is selling them than have what God is offering them for free. When you consider the riches that God has prepared for you and me in heaven, earthly wealth ought to look like garbage. Looking at money this way enables us to be free to love God and also to be generous towards those in need. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. This is one way the Lord commends to spend our money. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. There are plenty of people in need whom we can help with our money and send it on ahead to our eternal home. This is how God wants us to invest our money, by going to the poor and supporting the gospel. The Bible reminds us over and over again that sharing with those who don't have money will result in blessings for us, and it is a sign of our renewed nature that we care for those in poverty. In doing so, we'll please God. And we'll finish with one last scripture in Luke chapter 12, verse 33. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth.